actress, a comedian. She actually had her own show called The Carol Burnett Show. She was in New York one Christmas, and it was cold, and she was riding in a taxi, and she went to get out, and I don't know how this happened, but when the door closed to the taxi, part of her jacket was caught in the taxi. But the taxi didn't know this. And so he pulls out in New York, lots of noise. He pulls out on the street to keep driving, and she has two choices. She can either run or be dragged. And so this was going on for about a block. And finally, somebody on the street or whatever realized what was happening and stopped the taxi. And so he gets out, and he's all panicked. And he said, you know, Mrs. Burnett, are you okay? Are you okay? You know, and she said, I'm okay. She goes, I just want to know how much that last block cost me. Isn't this the way life goes? Even when we don't seemingly do anything wrong, it can cost us. Let's pray. God, be our strength in times of trouble, even when others do not understand. Help us to remain true to what is essential, and that is our relationship with you and each other. Fill us with your love so we can respond to others in grace and love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is coming from 1 John 2:18-25. Ernie's got it up already. I'm going to read it to you. 1 John 2:18-25. Children, it is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. From this we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us but did not belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But by going out, they made it plain that none of them belongs to us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and all of you have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and you know that no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and everyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you'll abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is what is promised us, eternal life. The church in Asia Minor is experiencing internal conflicts that are ripping them apart at the seams. In the letter, the Apostle John wants to reestablish what is really essential to their faith and lives. No matter what difficulties arise in the Christian life, the one thing that remains permanent and foundational is Christ and Him crucified. John helps these rattled believers to reconnect on whom it is they have believed in. What happens when things go south for us in our jobs, in our finances, with our health, or in our relationships? In most situations, there's no place for us to run and hide or to take a time out for 2 or 3 years. It can feel like a raging inferno within and without. When the storms of life pound our hearts and our emotions, it is only God that can still our hearts. He is our peace. John reminds his audience in chapter 2:18-21 that those who follow Jesus will experience opposition. The apostle begins verse 18 by addressing these followers of Christ as children. In every way, John has been their spiritual father. He reaffirms that they're indeed in the last hour, or that the time for their world was short. Ever since Jesus' ascension into heaven, his followers have been living in the last days. Today, we are closer to this reality than they were. The apostle believed and lived like Christ could return at any moment, just like we believe today. John writes with passion and urgency, encouraging the church to be ready for the return of Christ. John points to the Antichrist that is coming, as many Antichrists that had come before. The term Antichrist is relating to those who oppose Christ and are hostile to the good news of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. In 1 John 2:19, John begins to reveal the dissension that has been going on in the churches. There were those who had deserted the church and were creating as much heartache as possible in their departure. Those who left chose to allow their differences to divide them instead of responding to one another in love. Also, these dissenters moved away from the truth of the gospel in every sense, creating a false gospel. Eugene Peterson, he had done a lecture a number of years ago in Vancouver, and he said, "You need to be mature to remain connected to the Christian church." I'm going to read that again. You need to be mature to remain connected to the Christian church, because it's here we learn what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. Isolation can promote selfish leaning tendencies, becoming more intolerant, and creating a world that just revolves around us. Christian churches provide the opportunity. It doesn't guarantee it, but there's an opportunity for us to be stretched in our spiritual growth, to love others beyond our own needs, and the desire to increase in both humility and grace. Verse 19 ends with John saying that these that left in such hostility only proved they didn't belong, or they did not share the same spirit of charity that Christ exemplified. But in 1 John 2:20, it explains what has made these followers of Christ different than those who are creating confusion and division within. It's the anointing or the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives who's guiding them into all truth. In John 16:13, Jesus talks about the work of the Holy Spirit upon the Christian person when he said, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come." Another way to say this is that true followers of Christ are able to discern the truth because of the indwelling of the Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit continues to point to what is true about God and affirms all the scriptures and in no way adds to or contradicts the Word of God. In John 14:26, Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit: "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you." There'll be those who will attempt to divide and split the Christian community from within and without. John makes it clear that these people's actions are antichrist in that they oppose what Jesus taught and how he asks us to live in relationship to one another in community. From the time of John until today, people have allowed themselves to be tools of the enemy in creating confusion and hurt in the Christian church, knowingly or not. We're all spiritual beings, and either we will open ourselves up and give access to God or the enemy. These are the only two options. There was a group of students in Texas taking a psychology class on emotions. The professor wanted to know the opposite, so he would say a word, and they would say a corresponding word that was opposite. He said happy. One of the students said sad. He said depression. One of the students said elation. Then the professor said, "What's the opposite of woe? As in, woe is me." And one student stood up and said, "Giddy up." The late evangelist, Dr. B.R. Lakin, used to say, there are three ways to prevent opposition: know nothing, have nothing, and do nothing. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus and live in his kingdom life, you're going to know opposition. Our world is built on the premise of getting ahead at any cost. Well, Jesus says it's in losing our life in him that we find true meaning of our existence. We're instructed in 1 John 2:22-25 to be learning to discern what truly is from God. In verse 22, John asks, who is the liar or the one who is not living by the truth? It is the one who denies Jesus as the Christ. Later on in 1 John, it becomes clear that these dissenters were struggling with Jesus' incarnate birth. They were not comfortable with the fact that God chose to come in human form to our world in the form of the Christ child. That is why he goes on to say in verse 23, these antichrists deny the Father and the Son. Nothing has changed today, as many refuse to become followers of Christ because they would prefer that God did things differently in a way that fit their own lifestyles. Again, some of the type of teaching that the apostle was confronting was that the physical was evil, but the spiritual was good. And because the body was evil, it didn't matter what you did in the physical. The only thing that was important was the spiritual. We can do similar things in our own lives when we put our spiritual lives in one compartment, our jobs in another one, our relationships and our families in another compartment, and somehow think they shouldn't impact each other or they shouldn't mix together. How many times have you heard of situations where Christians have been in business and when they're doing dealings, they're saying, oh, this is just business. When I was visiting my mom in Grand Prairie last August, they had a Christmas party in the middle of the summer. Maybe they knew we weren't going to get snow this year. I didn't know what was going on. I had lunch with her. It was scalloped potatoes, cream corn, and ham on a plate. No matter how much I disapproved, all the contents ran into each other. I might add, the only thing that tasted remotely familiar was the ham. We cannot separate our lives into individual compartments and be healthy. In 1 John 2:24, let what you have heard in the beginning abide in you. Then you will abide in the Son and the Father. Our understanding of God cannot simply come out of our experiences, but what is true of God has been true of him throughout history. What the church leaders throughout thousands of years held to be true. In every way, we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us spiritually. What they heard from the beginning was Jesus Christ and him crucified to save us, to save our neighbor, to save our world. The text ends in verse 25 saying that if we hold true to who God is, he has promised us eternal life. We've been assured that in the end, all things will be made right in our lives, in the world, and then into eternity, being reunited with the one who made us forever. Ruth Van Ricken has said, our human reasoning alone isn't enough to discern the truth from error. The best protection against deception is to know God's revealed truth, the Bible. When the Mach 3 Gillette shaver came out, it was advertised to give you the best shave ever, especially after Gillette sunk millions of dollars into advertising. I want you to know that in recent years, shaving has become much more important to me. And so, what somebody did when this came out, so they spent $1 million on the Mach 3, a neutral person did a survey testing the Mach 2 razor, the old one, that was half the price, with a new Mach 3. 7 out of 10 people preferred the old Mach 2 razor. In other words, it really wasn't new and improved. It just cost more. There were those who were connected to the churches in Asia Minor who were trying to improve or change the good news of Christ, but it was to their own demise. John is calling those who remain true followers of Christ to stand up strong in the midst of the opposition and the false promises that are being directed their way. Although things do change over time, because of inventions and scientific and medical discoveries, a lot still has remained the same. There will always be peddlers who will attempt to attract us with new philosophies or pleasures. But as Peter responded to Jesus in John 6:68, when others were deserting Jesus, saying, "His words are too hard," Jesus then turns to his disciples and says, "Do you want to leave too?" And Peter responds by saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." There are other religions that say, live however you want to, believe in whatever you want to, and everything will work out in the end. But such ideas remain powerless to change us from the harmful patterns of sin that will ultimately destroy us. And no other philosophy or ideology can give us an intimate relationship with a God that loved us so deeply that he sent his son to die for us. What has been true about God since the beginning of time is still true of him today. He is faithful. We can depend on him. He's all-powerful. He's always present. And he has our best interest always at the forefront. But it's also true that he's jealous for us. And he will not share us with any other god or possession or pleasure that vies for the primary position of our hearts. To attempt to follow Jesus while chasing after the pleasures of this world will never work. In the end, it'll leave us the most miserable of creatures. To follow Christ will cost us everything that we hold dear. But what he replaces it with is more than we could have ever hoped to obtain. Jesus is the pearl of great price. In Matthew 13, 45, 46, the merchant sells all he has to buy this prized possession. This is our relationship with Jesus. He calls us to die to our own ambitions and give our lives to fully serve and follow wherever he leads. And it's here we will begin experiencing wholeness and fulfillment personally and corporately. Let's pray. Once again, Jesus, we're reminded from your word that you have the words of life that we so desperately need. We want to continue following you no matter what others around us choose to do. Give us your strength in the midst of life's challenges and disappointments. In Jesus' name, amen. Not going to make any announcements. I'm going to do a benediction. We're going to sing one more song and be dismissed. So my encounter with Jesus began over 50 years ago. And what started happening right away is he started making me aware of things in my life that probably need to change. I was in high school and I was very funny. Just incredibly witty. But at some point, I realized he started speaking to my heart. In my great funniness, I was actually hurting people. I'm thinking, but I'm funny! And he's speaking to me and saying, Lewis, it's better for you to be quiet than for somebody to get hurt, even if you're funny. And you know what I found? That over the last 50 years, it's gotten easier and easier to hear the voice of the Spirit, but harder and harder to do it. Because he keeps asking for different areas of my life. He wants to move into rooms that I don't let anybody into. And he comes in and he brings his light, and I experience wholeness and hope and peace and joy. As we go into this new year, as you go under the sign of the cross, the question for all of us will be, will we make more room for Jesus in our lives? It's kind of like when you have a cup and a pitcher of water, and the pitcher is full of water. If you keep pouring into the cup, it's going to go over the cup. Something has to leave the cup for more water to get into the cup. And usually in our lives, it's if we want more of Christ residing within us, it's the junk that needs to go. And so a good prayer this year could be, Lord Jesus, what are the areas in my life that I haven't let you in previously that you want to come enter and reside in me so I can have more of you in me? Amen.
Would you please stand while we close? Have a great week and rest of 2023.